Without more ado, over to Colin, who's going to come and share with us this morning.
Olympics, on your doorstep. Once upon a time, all good stories start like that, so I'm told. Yes, in 1948, I was Bristol Schoolboys quarter mile champion. I ran for Bristol South Harriers, I ran for Gloucestershire, I ran for Bristol County. I was doing the quarter mile in 60 seconds. When you talk about athletics, you don't say 1 minute, it's 60 seconds. It sounds a lot better. And believe it or not, that's approximately 15 miles an hour. And I used to, because of the connection with Bristol South Harriers, we trained in the field that we knew as Packers Ground, which is just up the road here. And in 1948, that was the year that the Olympics were in London. And we had here two Olympians, or excuse me, that were actually training there. And I was running alongside these men. One of them was 28 years old, and I was only 15 then at that time. And his name was Arthur Wint from Jamaica. And in the Olympics, if you look up the record, you will find that Arthur Wint from Jamaica won the 400 metres for men. So he had a gold medal. And he used to train just up the road here. So that was Olympics on our doorstep. And so the people that were training, they were watching me run and knew how fast I could go over a quarter of a mile, and they suggested that I should start some more concentrated training with the prospect of running in the 1952 Olympics. What a prospect. So I was asked, could I start training more often? And they asked, could I start training on a Sunday? Oh, no, there was a difficulty, because I was involved in the Sunday school at Chelsea Gospel Hall, which was right here. And I had to decide, what was I going to do? Because I was just taking on a Sunday school class, and I was under training here for teaching and preaching. We attended Bible. We had lots of things going on then. We had 4 meetings on a Sunday and 2 or 3 meetings during the week. And so this was conflicting with my athletics, my running prospects. So what was I to do? Well, one of the elders here, he said, you must let go, because you are so enthusiastic about running. And I was eager to know the results of what was happening on the telly. Perhaps you were eager to know the results and what's going on the telly with the Olympics. But should I give up what I was doing for Jesus, my love for him, against my love for running? So I had to make the decision. And I don't know whether I would have been good enough for the Olympics, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me, I was good enough to represent him. And so I decided to follow Jesus as my Savior and to run for him. And he gave me other gifts that I could use for him. And it wasn't just for a period of winning a gold medal once in 4 years or every other 4 years or whatever. This was for eternity. So the prize is far better for Jesus Christ than it is in the Olympics. So that's basically all I have to say. Run for Jesus. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Well, Olympic weekend. I suppose if yesterday was Super Saturday, Mark 2, today must be Super Sunday, Mark 2. Does anyone know, by the way, I know you may not have heard, but do you know what happened with Mo Farah last night? Yeah, Claire, sorry? Yeah, he won. Yeah, he won, Claire. Yeah. It's the first thing she asked me this morning. Did he win? He fell. That's true. I haven't actually seen it myself, but what a wonderful story that he actually retained his Olympic gold. Anyway, thank you for asking me to come and share with you on this second of your Sundays, looking at Hebrews 12 verses 1 to 2, where the writer of Hebrews is actually relating the Christian life to an athletic contest. Now, this is the verse that we are trying to memorize, so I'm going to pop it up and let's read it together, shall we? And then we'll go on and talk about it for a little while. So, Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So what I'm going to do now is just use a couple of illustrations in video format, just to pull out a couple of ideas around that kind of phrase where it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, as you watch these video clips, I want you to ask yourself three questions, okay? Who are we looking at in the clip? Who is the main person? What is the event we're looking at? And what kind of attributes or skills or abilities would you need to be involved in or to run in that kind of event? So please don't shout out till we've watched the clip. And if we can sort of let the younger guys maybe chip in first, if they know. And if they don't, then you older ones, you can shout out. So here we go. Let's watch the first video. Rich, when you're ready. What's wrong? Here we go.
Safely away this time. Bolt is into his stride. Has started pretty quickly. He's chasing down Edward. He's run a very good bend here. Lemaitre trying to get back into this. But Usain Bolt leading in the minute. Jamelian about third. Talbot run a good bend. But Bolt has got 2 metre lead. Edward is coming back at it. Bolt fighting hard. He's got clear air. And he wins it. 1990. The win for Bolt. He's back in business.
Where's he gone? Right, okay. So, anybody know who that guy was? He said his name in the clip. I need someone to say it. Usain Bolt. You'd have to be living on another planet not to know who he was, really, wouldn't you? How's he doing it? I can't remember. But yeah, Usain Bolt. And the event was the...
Well, that's just to whet your appetite.
Any idea what event that was? Men's 200 metres. That was the European Championships this year. So when we think about Usain Bolt and that kind of race, what kind of ability do you need to run in a sprint race? Just call them out.
Power.
Endurance.
Speed.
High speed. The word that occurred to me was it's quite explosive. You know, they're off the blocks in so fast, and it's the energy of the race is over in a very, very short period of time. I mean, it does help, I guess, if you've kind of got long legs, but then your legs can get too long, and you notice a lot of the good sprinters are kind of like, can be quite short, actually, because their legs kind of go around faster, I suppose. I don't know what it is, but... But also, they're very muscular, aren't they? Have you noticed sprinters are very... They're always the really muscular runners, aren't they? They have a lot of muscle tone, which gives them the sort of... It gives them the torque to sort of recycle their footing fast so they can sprint. But yeah, the main things are speed, strength...
Fitness.
Yes, who said that? Colin, yes. I mean, yes, that is a... I would think that's a fairly important thing to have, fitness, in an Olympics. But yeah. So, bearing those answers in mind, let's look at our second clip. It's a little bit longer. Again, I want to know who it is. Everyone knows who it is anyway.
Hugo just holding his place to Riku Bekele on the inside. This is just over a lap to go now. Galen Rupp is going well in third place. Muchiri of Kenya, the top Kenyan. Massai's behind him. Chidese's fighting, so too Medin. It's the bell. Mo Farah hits the bell. 28.36 seconds into this 3,000 metres. We've seen a long sprint for Farah. Can he maintain it? He's got the might of East Africa behind him. Plus, Galen Rupp just behind. It's Farah who leads, though, with less than a lap to go. Muchiri of Kenya. Bekele, the two Bekeles with Rupp. They're going away from the rest of the field. It's 200 metres to go now. Mo Farah for Great Britain. Can this be another British gold? Two already today. Farah leads. The field is being spread-eagled. Behind him is Riku Bekele. Then is Galen Rupp of the USA. Then Kenenisa Bekele. The other Kenyan looks lost. It's Mo Farah coming down the home straight with Bekele and Rupp. Can it be a 1-2 for the Salazar group? It looks like it. It's Mo Farah takes gold for Great Britain. Galen Rupp takes second. Then the two Bekele brothers. Behind them, it's Kerechmuchi. Then it's Tadesi. Then it's another Ethiopian. I hope try an Ethiopian. But Mo Farah produces the goods. And Galen Rupp takes the silver medal. A last lap of 53.5.
Yeah, they played into his hands.
I just love that video. Yeah, obviously, it's just that was from the London 2012 Olympics. I couldn't find the footage from last night's race in time. But I just love the way that, you know, when he gets to the end, he just falls on the floor and lies on his back. And it's such an enormous, just that picture just tells you an awful lot. But, okay, so it's Mo Farah, we know that, okay? What was the event, do you think? 10,000 metres? Yeah, and if we think about a race like that, a more long-distance race, what abilities or skills do we need to run in that kind of race? Who said that? What was that? Corn sausages. Oh yeah, he eats a lot of corn, doesn't he? I'm not convinced. What else was stamina? Yeah, I mean, what was that? Strategy. Thank you, Claire. I didn't even prime her to say that. But Rob, you said something in the last...
Endurance.
You said endurance, which is the key thing in this one. I think it applies more to this example than Usain Bolt in a way, but you're quite right. When we look at those two races, one of those races was over in 19.9 seconds. Okay? The other race was over in 27 minutes, 30.43 seconds. Which means it took Mo Farah 83 times as long to run his race as did Usain Bolt. And what I want to just try and draw out of that illustration is some ideas around what it really means to run with endurance. It might surprise you to know that I've had in my life two very similar experiences to what we've just seen. No, don't laugh. I wasn't always 48, no. But the first experience was when I was 8. As I was preparing for this message this week, this memory came back to me of being on holiday at Pontins Holiday Camp in Blackpool when I was 8. And for some unknown reason, my mother entered me into a pedal boat race across the open air lake. And I wasn't of an age where I could really say no, I suppose. So she put me in this pedal boat. And do you know what? I won the race. It was the first, I think the only time I've ever won a race in my life. I've still got the little medal I got somewhere. I looked for it yesterday in the closet. I couldn't find it, but it's in our house somewhere. But And what I remember most about the race is I remember getting in the pedal boat. I remember getting out the other side and my mum screaming hysterically, "He won! He won!" And but I don't remember an awful lot in between. It was a bit of a blur, okay? Now, my second memory is a little bit more recent. It was 2 years ago. I ran in the Bristol 10K. And, you know, I remember the beginning of that race, you know, coming up to the start line and checking for my time. And I remember the end, you know, crossing the finishing line, you know, feeling entirely exhausted and bereft of any faculties. But what I do remember distinctly about that race, as opposed to the first one, is that there was an awful lot more going on in the middle, you know, in my head and my body. There was a lot more pain. There was a lot more discomfort. My tendons were doing strange things. You know, I had a lot of... There was a mental battle going on in my head, you know. There was doubt. There was that thought of, why did I do this? You know, I was actually doing it for charity, so I think I'd raised about £480 or something. So I had a real incentive to sort of push through. But the point I'm trying to make is that the first race, it was over and done. I didn't even notice actually that I'd even been in a race. Really, the second one, there was a lot more of a mental struggle. And when we look at this passage, Hebrews 12. That's the context that the writer is talking about. He's talking to a church that need to endure. And he's given them a pictorial image of how to endure in the face of difficulty, of persecution. And we need to remember, of course, that this verse is not just an isolated verse on its own. It's part of a flow of scripture, a flow of something that the writer is saying. And that word, therefore... You know, when we use the word therefore, what we're saying is, because of this thing we've just said, therefore, this follows, you know? Da-da-da-da-da, therefore, da-da-da-da-da. So we need to go back a little bit just to look at what was said in Hebrews 11. And here we go, bopper. And I'm not going to read the whole passage because it would take too long. Where am I aiming there? No? Okay, here we go. And the thing is, when we look at this passage, I've just tried to pull out a couple of verses just to highlight the main point I'm trying to drive home today, and that is, as Claire mentioned, and as I've alluded to, is the battle really is mental in a long-distance race. If we think of the Christian life as a marathon, you know, what we really need is to get our mindset right. You know, where's our headspace, you know, in terms of... what we focus our lives upon. And this passage, Hebrews 11, the writer is drawing on the whole history of the nation of Israel and of they're often called the heroes of the faith, the guys that are listed in this passage. And he's basically listing a load of people who've had to endure quite difficult circumstances. And he's basically giving us this catalogue of people who've endured for our encouragement, really. And of course, in the verse we looked at in Hebrews 12, it culminates with Jesus himself, because he says, doesn't he, we need to look to Jesus. But this great cloud of witnesses that he talks about... Sorry, Graham, I'm watching. Sorry. Are you looking at the clock? I'll wrap it up, don't we? But the thing to look at in this passage... is that these people really, they knew what they were looking for. They knew that God had called them to something higher and greater and bigger. And in most cases, they never even saw the fulfillment of those things. You know, the old heroes of the Bible, Abraham, Moses, Noah, they never actually saw the fulfillment of what God was calling them to be part of. But yet they learned to endure because they were convinced, weren't they, in their spirits, in their hearts, that God was real, it says in verse 6, God exists and he rewards those who seek him and find him. And so this is what the writer of Hebrews is trying to just drive home to us today, is that really it's all about what we focus on. It's what we focus our minds on that will give us the advantage when life gets difficult, when the Christian life gets a bit hard, when life itself just becomes difficult to handle. What are we focusing on? Because if we're focusing our lives on the here and now and the pain, we probably would want to give up. But if we can focus on God, his kingdom, on our eternal reward, it gives us the impetus to push on, doesn't it? Just going back to my analogy of the Bristol 10K race that I was in, there was one point in the race where I was really starting to feel the pace of it. I'd done my training, and I'd stepped it up mile by mile, week by week, and then the final week I did my full 10K run, my dry run, so to speak. I knew I could do it, but come the day, about 2.5-3 miles through, I was really struggling because of the heat. Maybe I hadn't drunk enough. And God just reminded me what happened that day, because a friend, we became a friend, I didn't know him at the time, he came up alongside me. He could see I was struggling. And he came up to me and he just said to me, would you like me to set the pace for you? And I looked at him and he's about 6'3", bit like Usain Bolt. And he looked at me and he said, I'm not much of a runner. He says, I'm a rower really, but I'm okay. And I just looked and thought, easy for you to say. But I said, yeah, would you pace me? And as I was preparing for this message, the significance of what that friend did really struck home for me, because what he did was he just ran a bit further ahead of me, He didn't run with me, wasting my time, talking to me. He just ran slightly ahead of me so that I could keep him in my vision, and he set a pace a bit faster than I would have liked, but he knew that I needed that, to keep me moving forward and not to give in to the sort of like the desire just to sort of relax and stop. And I finished the race, and I lost sight of him in the last quarter of a mile. He just pushed on. Maybe he knew he'd done his job, I don't know. But by that time, I was home and dry. Mentally, I'd overcome. I could see the finish line, and I just kind of sailed in, under my own strength, if you like. And it was really quite a powerful image. He'd gone, and I saw him again the next week at church, and I said, Dave? I said, thank you for doing that, because that really gave me something to focus on. It gave me something mentally to pull me through that difficult patch. And really, that's just what I'm trying to draw out of this passage today. That the witnesses that have gone before, they are our encouragement. They did it. They've shown it's possible. And, whatever circumstances we're in today, whatever your family situation is, or your work situation, or your health, those have gone before, and of course, Christ Jesus himself, they've shown us that it's possible to endure, and that new possibilities to have faith are before us today, in the times, in the circumstances, in the geographical places that we live. And really, I think really more or less that was what I wanted to say this morning. Just one more thing. Have I got time or not? Have I got one more time? It's just a tag on the back of that. When we talk about the race of running the Christian life, in one sense, it's a very general thing, isn't it? We're all called to the same race, and there are general sort of principles. There's a start when we accept Christ. There's a finish when we eventually get home. There are certain ways that God wants us to run the race. There's no cheating. You can be disqualified. But in another sense, I really felt the Lord just say to me, for us today, that each of us also within that runs a very specific and a unique race that no other person in this room is running and can run. And I was just to encourage you this morning, just to, you know, maybe just to take that away. And as we enter a time of breaking bread, you know, just to bring the areas of your life at the moment, if there are any, where you just feel like you need to endure. And let's just pray, let's just seek God for his grace and his encouragement to it, you know, to push through our little patches that we're finding hard in our lives right now. And maybe we can just pray that God will help us to find pace setters in our own lives. You know, like my friend who came alongside me, he set the pace for me. He helped me to get through a difficult patch. And each of us can do that for ourselves, can't we? And each other, we can be pace setters. We can come alongside and we can help each other to keep going. And really, that's all I wanted to say.